Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. How to Be an Anti-Capitalist in the 21st Century by Eric Olin Wright is a short, strategy-focused work of political sociology that asks a practical question: if capitalism produces both prosperity and deep inequality, what are realistic ways to build something better? Published near the end of Wright's life, the book condenses decades of his work on class analysis, social transformation, and real utopias into an accessible argument for democratic socialism. It is not a manifesto for abstract opposition alone. Instead, it examines capitalism as a system that organizes economic life through private ownership and market power, then evaluates why that system falls short on equality, democracy, and solidarity. Wright also shifts attention from diagnosis to agency, identifying multiple pathways for anti-capitalist change, from public expansion to grassroots resistance and cooperative alternatives. The result is a concise but ambitious guide for readers who want a serious discussion of socialist strategy rather than slogans or nostalgia. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why capitalism is judged against equality, democracy, and solidarity. Wright's critique begins with values rather than economics alone. He does not deny that capitalism has produced important gains such as growth, innovation, and mass consumption. But he argues that these gains are distributed unevenly and come with major social costs. The book frames capitalism as deficient because it systematically limits equal access to the conditions needed for a fulfilling life. Equal participation in decisions that shape people's lives, and forms of cooperation based on care rather than self-interest. This moral framework is important because it shifts the debate away from whether capitalism is simply efficient. Wright asks whether the system is legitimate by democratic and human standards. That makes the critique broader than a standard complaint about inequality. It also helps explain why the book speaks to readers who may accept markets in some form but remain dissatisfied with the social outcomes markets produce. By evaluating capitalism through these three values, Wright creates a stable basis for anti-capitalist politics that is ethical as well as structural. Secondly, the five anti-capitalist strategies as different routes of transformation. One of the book's most distinctive contributions is its map of five strategic approaches: shattering, disassembling, taming, resisting, and escaping. These are not treated as interchangeable slogans, but as different theories of change. Shattering refers to revolutionary rupture, while disassembling means expanding public institutions so that parts of economic life are gradually removed from market control. Taming focuses on regulation and redistribution, especially through taxation and welfare policies. Resisting covers grassroots campaigns around specific conflicts, often defensive but politically important. Escaping means building alternatives inside the existing system, such as cooperatives, mutual aid networks, and other non-market institutions. Wright's point is that anti-capitalism cannot rely on a single tactic. Some strategies reduce harms without changing the system much, while others create embryonic alternatives but remain small. By laying out the strengths and limits of each approach, he encourages readers to think strategically about combinations rather than purity. This framework is one reason the book is practical. It gives political actors a vocabulary for comparing reforms, movements, and institutions without collapsing all anti-capitalist activity into one model. Thirdly, real utopias building alternatives inside the existing system. The book is strongly shaped by Wright's Real Utopias project, which argues that serious alternatives to capitalism should be grounded in existing examples rather than imagined from scratch. That idea matters because it treats utopian thinking as a discipline, not an escape from reality. Wright looks for institutions that already embody anti-capitalist principles in partial form, such as public libraries, cooperative enterprises, and participatory mechanisms. These examples show that different allocation rules and decision-making logics can already function within capitalist societies. The significance is not that these institutions are perfect, but that they demonstrate feasibility. Wright wants readers to see that a post-capitalist future is not limited to a single blueprint or a distant revolution. Instead, it can be assembled through the expansion and linking of practices that already work in limited settings. This approach also explains why the book is optimistic without being naive. It recognizes that capitalism is deeply entrenched, yet it insists that concrete alternatives can be built incrementally, tested, and scaled. In Wright's hands, utopia becomes a method for political experimentation. Fourthly, why class analysis is important but not sufficient for socialist strategy. Wright is known for class analysis, but this book shows why he believed class politics alone could not do all the work of transformation. Class conflict remains important because capitalism is structured by unequal power between owners and workers, and collective labor action can disrupt that power. Still, Wright argues that a future democratic socialism requires more than a worker versus owner framework. People are moved into political action by a mixture of shared values, collective interests, and moral commitment, not by class position alone. This is a significant development in his thought because it broadens the basis for organizing. It means anti-capitalist politics must connect workplace struggles to broader democratic and ethical concerns. The shift also reflects a practical judgment. Even successful class mobilization does not automatically yield institutions capable of sustaining egalitarian and democratic life. The book, therefore, keeps class analysis in the picture while refusing to reduce all strategy to it. For readers, this is a useful correction to both economistic Marxism and purely moral criticism. Wright wants a politics that links structure, motivation, and institutional design. Lastly, a sober rejection of simple reformism and simple rupture. The book stands out because it refuses two common shortcuts. On one side, it rejects the idea that capitalism can be repaired indefinitely through moderate reform alone. Wright thinks the system contains structural contradictions that make inequality, domination, and ecological damage persistent features rather than temporary glitches. On the other side, he is skeptical of sudden revolutionary rupture as a sufficient answer, because destroying capitalism does not guarantee a democratic and humane replacement. This double rejection gives the book its distinctive balance. It is anti-capitalist without being romantic about revolution, and reform-minded without pretending that redistribution or regulation solve everything. Wright's preferred horizon is a cumulative transformation in which public institutions, social movements, and alternative economic forms gradually weaken capitalism while extending democratic control. That makes the book especially relevant for readers looking at contemporary debates over socialism, public ownership, and movement strategy. Instead of offering a single dramatic solution, it explains why change must be multi-layered, institutionally informed, and politically patient. That is a rare combination in political books of this kind. In conclusion, this book should be read by anyone interested in socialism, democratic economics, labor politics, or the future of anti-capitalist strategy. It is especially useful for readers who are dissatisfied with capitalism, but also skeptical of slogans, nostalgia, or abstract theory detached from practical politics. Wright offers more than criticism. He gives a way to compare strategies, evaluate institutions, and think about how alternatives might actually grow inside and beyond the existing system. That makes the book valuable for students, activists, and general readers who want a serious introduction to socialist strategy without having to wade through a much larger theoretical literature. What sets it apart from many books in the same category is its combination of moral clarity and strategic realism. Wright does not argue as if the choice is simply capitalism versus immediate revolution. He explains why anti-capitalist politics needs public goods, redistribution, grassroots resistance, and cooperative experiments working together. The result is a concise book with unusual intellectual discipline. It is normative, without being preachy, critical, without being cynical, and imaginative, without drifting into fantasy. For readers trying to understand what democratic socialism could mean in practice, it is one of the clearest and most usable books available. If you would like to support Eric Olin Wright, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.